Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer. So let's bring her out. The star attraction. The one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
I happen to be very good at mechanical things, Kate, usually. And unfortunately, we had began the begin. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the card was full.
Putin?
So, Putin was full.
And Putin? No, Putin did it.
WikiLeaks...
White Julian Scary Assange.
Very scary. Assange.
Because he doesn't want lesbians talking to each other.
Really?
Ever.
Is that true?
It's so true. It's sad, but scary.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. So true.
That's great.
Where are you, Julian
Assange?
He's a horror.
Julian Assange, where are you?
He's in a hotel.
He's in a hotel.
I think so.
Hotel.
Hotel.
So, Kate, we began by talking about the fact that you grew up in a very conservative Catholic family.
Correct.
The middle child, the real middle child of five kids. So you're, you know, some people say I'm the middle child, but there's, you know, six kids. Mm-hmm. So you're not really the middle child. There's two middle children.
Exactly.
You are middle child of five, two elder siblings and two
Some point, also, I was the youngest child. And then...
How long were you the youngest child? Because I'm the youngest child.
I was the youngest child for 2 years.
How was that for you?
It was good.
Because Elisa helped
anybody,
her.
Is anyone paying it? The soccer game
the
is
soccer
on.
The soccer game is on.
No
so
one is paying
Millie,
attention.
Millie is here. And Millie's a huge fan of yours, but she's enjoying the soccer. She's also a lesbian before she's a fan of yours.
Can't blame her.
So you're the middle child.
Yeah.
And we talked about the fact that, you know, during the time when you realized, because you were born in 1947, mm-hmm. You look 67.
I'm 1967.
No, you look like you were born in 1967.
I'm 68, but with the wind chill factor, mm-hmm. it feels like 59. You get a million of them.
Yeah. So you didn't, because I was saying, you know, I knew I was a lesbo. I knew something was different and that I liked my friends more than... And as you said, you mm-hmm. told your father you like your friends a lot. Mm-hmm. But you didn't have the language. Like, I knew the word lesbian. I mean, there were sissy, there were other things. But lesbian, you know, the gym teacher, we'd call her a lezzy.
Mm-hmm. No, we didn't have any of that. We didn't have gym.
You didn't have gym?
No, I'm Title IX. That's why.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
I'm the last generation without knee replacements. Because I didn't play sports.
And you know I have a total knee replacement.
I did. I was just trying to like make some connection with you in a way that supports that you had to have it. And
you know what? I appreciate that. And I felt it. And I felt you trying to connect.
I did. I mean, I felt it worked for
Thank
a little
you.
Bit.
So...
It's about the people, Judy.
Yes. So you're in a Catholic family.
Correct. Very Catholic.
Very
family.
Catholic.
My mom went to Mass every morning.
Every day.
Every day. Mm-hmm. And then during Lent, we all said the rosary together after dinner, kneeling down at our chairs. That was some of my early comedy work right there. Because I would try to get my brothers to laugh.
Right.
And get in trouble.
Is that, is that something... Why do you think they were so religious, your parents?
They came from that. My mother was a true believer, but it was the Catholic Church where you visited the sick, you took care of people. They didn't worry about gay people and you know.
Right. They were true Catholics.
Yeah, they were true Catholics.
Because as you know, because you know everything, mm-hmm. The Catholic Church has been quite accepting of the gays. The Catholic people, congregants.
Yes, yeah.
Not the
gay guys that run it.
Right.
Seem, please.
Right.
I hope you don't find this out about us. And they did. And
wow.
It was lots of really bad.
I never knew that the priests and mm-hmm. really.
Yeah. We've lost a lot.
Your father was a computer, like pre-computer computer person.
Yeah.
Your mother was a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she... retired.
Left
the teaching to have a kid. And you mentioned that she had five kids, but wanted 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did a joke about, was her maiden name Duggar?
Right.
And you laughed.
I did.
And now you're not going to laugh because you're so mad that you had to go out. This is a total Kill Me Now podcast.
No.
That our card is fucking full. And Kate and Milagros Diaz, mm-hmm. who was
My
coming.
Trusty
yes,
assistant.
Your assistant who was coming in her pants because she got to go on a car ride with you.
In a cemetery.
Yeah.
We drove through the cemetery.
You went through the cemetery.
She was so excited.
So exciting.
Oh, to get to Conwell Lombay?
Yeah, to get to Conwell Lombay.
Yes.
We went the back way.
Yes, I like the back way.
Well, love it was just the back way.
Yeah, the back way is good.
Amazing.
People, so you. Is, here in Provincetown, it is. The very famous Carnival Week.
Yes. So I'm not going into town at all. You?
Don't. Ever.
Well, no.
Right. Unless I have to go do a show and then I quickly come back.
I have a reservation this evening at June that we made a while ago mm-hmm. and we have to cancel it.
Why?
Because we have guests and we're having a barbecue.
Oh, Milagro?
Milagros.
Yeah.
And her wife, Aram.
Uh-huh.
And their daughter, Pilar.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have our friend Julie Goodrich and her daughter Annie.
Who is
coming
so tall
over.
And
yes.
has grown to be
yes.
such a gal.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we have our friends Robin and Luann. Robin mm-hmm. Peter Paul, Luann Kemp.
Mm-hmm.
Luann Peter Paul, Robin Kemp.
Luann just had a 60th birthday.
Yes, we had her 60th birthday last night.
And we have their friends.
And they're two of their friends.
Will you be doing the grilling? Will you be
I will, yes,
the
I do the, yes, I do cook, and as much as you probably are going to be like, there better be someone there with her, because if she grills like she does this fucking microphone.
I was going to say that. Just check the propane before you kick it in.
No, that would be, Elisa,
absolutely no right. Jamie, no Kate, Jamie, I already asked her that about
even though I
times.
Made her hot dogs the other night, and everything was fine.
Yeah. You might have used the last up.
Right. And you said you're not Jewish.
I am not Jewish, but
that
as you know...
the most Jewy comment.
However, let's remember that I've always felt that Jews are co-Catholics. Catholics are co-Jews.
Well, I would think that's very true. I grew up next to the DiSavinos and Antonellis, and my mother...
Well, here you go.
Send mass cards to them, and...
Co-Jews, co-Catholic, what goes around comes around. Where they meet, that's Italian. Right there. There you are. There's your neighborhood.
That was me taking a sip of water. Now, so...
How long does a podcast last?
This is going for days. What time do you have to be at Cornell?
I think I just went through menopause. I'm not sure. But, okay. It's okay if they laugh at me, Judy.
So, you also mentioned your father was quiet, your mother was strong. But we didn't mention that you had a big crush on Mrs. Hartigan, your neighbor.
Oh my God, we're deep dish here.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah. Jeez. So I do good research, baby.
Wow. Who did you talk to?
No one. I read.
You did?
Yes. Yeah. So Mrs. Hartigan was your mother's friend.
Yes.
Next door. Mm-hmm. Tell me about Mrs. Hartigan.
In her cardigan. Oh my God. She was so fancy. She was,
right.
She was, gave double knits a reason to live. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was very fancy. We were not incredibly fancy, but adequate, you know, but she just had style. I thought she was absolutely dreamy.
Where was Miss Hartigan from?
That's a good question. I don't know. I didn't care.
Did she ever perform in the show Annie?
She did not. She did not.
That's a Ms. Hannigan joke.
I got that.
Okay.
But you know what? You just laugh at Kate's jokes, and that's fine. You don't have to laugh at my jokes.
No,
just
but
laugh at Kate's jokes.
I just want to hear more about Miss the neighbor.
And I want to know, who is Duggar?
Duggar, the Duggars. They have, you know, 19 kids, and then he was on the porn site, and he molested some of the kids?
I have no idea. I don't follow that. I get a people...
Okay.
Okay.
I'm telling you right now.
I don't get the Kardashian either. I haven't really ever seen a Kardashian except an errant butt shot.
Really?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm NPR. I'm...
Okay, great. I'm NPR, too, but the Duggars, 19 kids...
When do you have time to be a Duggar person?
Okay, I hate them so much...
You have to follow them.
...that the fact that I got so aggravated that they have a show. They have a show.
Put your mic up.
They have a show.
Yeah.
They have a show, 19 Kids and Counting. And
did they have them, or did they adopt them?
She had all of them. Okay, the fact that I'm explaining the Duggars is hilarious to me. She had them. They've had a show on TLC.
Could you get a shot of my face?
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
Really?
Okay, so she had 19 kids, and they've been all over... hold on. They've been all over. They used to be on the Today Show a lot because they were on an NBC-affiliated...
Because
network.
They had all those kids? And
right, so they had the show.
Soul
you know,
music.
Like they had the show about the sisters, sister wives.
Yes.
So it's another one of those shows.
Okay,
same network,
okay.
I think. I'm not sure. Okay. Oh, shit. I can't move my leg. Anyway, so...
Has it gone to sleep or are you
no, because
about a cord?
It makes the thing go... So anyway, they are the Christian, and he's, and you know, the husband is getting involved politically, and they're so anti-gay, and the son, the eldest son, who now has three kids, they've homeschooled, it's a whole TV show, right?
Are they Mormons?
No, they're those... fucked up Christian.
Okay.
He is head of the Family Research Council. He worked at the... So that's why I was obsessed with how much I fucking hate them.
Yeah.
He just was... they just discovered he had molested a couple of his little sisters and a friend, a couple of friends. And, you know, he's so anti-gay and he's been on porno sites. Shocking. This is the head of the Family Research Council. They're so anti-gay. That's why I fucking hate them. So anyway, they have 19 kids. So that's why I was saying your mother
I'm
wanted
go
to be.
I'm going to go back to the look. That was
okay, like... here's the look. Okay.
Okay,
so when you guys have to go on our Facebook page, my Judy Gold Facebook page.
You'll see my astonished face.
You'll see the astonished face of Kay Clinton. You liked being Catholic.
I didn't like that the boys were in charge and that my brothers got to be altar boys. And basically, and they never could learn the Latin, and I could say the Mass in Latin.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, for God's sakes.
Do you think you're the smartest child in your family? Most intelligent? Or is it because you have an open mind? Go.
Open mind.
Do you think they're as smart as you, but that they don't want to know?
Oh, I think they're very open-minded, actually. And we've done a lot of work, but they're...
I know that initially... when you came out, your eldest brother was not happy about it.
No, he wasn't. He's very, very came from a... He was actually in the seminary studying to be a priest for 8 years. He left and he fell in love, which I was so happy
with.
About.
Whom?
A lovely, beautiful woman.
So you don't think there's any gay in him?
I don't think so. I think he's pretty...
I do.
No, okay.
I'm kidding.
Okay.
You were prom queen.
Uh-huh.
You were homecoming queen.
Yes.
You were on the basketball team.
I was.
Pre-Title IX.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that... Who did you get to play basketball with?
I played
with?
Basketball with Bob Cousy, the Syracuse Nats, who were that before they moved to the Philadelphia 76ers. And we used to practice in the War Memorial.
Was that your stomach?
Yeah, sorry.
That's okay. I love you.
That's great.
Go ahead.
Nice. Kind of a...
Yes,
it sounded like
fine.
I told the story and somebody went, oh.
Yeah.
That's nice. I thought, oh, she's so nice.
Yeah.
Well, empathetic.
I think that we've heard this story, but...
We heard it. But Lisa, but the card wasn't on.
Oh, right. Okay. Sorry.
So tell us about your basketball. This is a redo, ladies and gentlemen, because the fucking card wasn't on.
Why didn't you tell me? I just thought, oh, she has no memory of what we did.
Let's tell them, Elisa. And you know what's funny? She's a therapist, and she's such a good listener. I want to say that.
I used to go to a therapist, and about 2 years in, I realized that during therapy, she ate her entire lunch.
She ate during your therapy session?
Oh, my God.
No way. She brought food in? I don't even let my students bring food.
It was not until I talked to a friend of mine who was also going to that therapist that I realized she had been eating her lunch. My friend said, do you notice that she eats her entire lunch during your session? I went, oh, my God, you're right. I have never really seen it.
So I hope she went at the same time as you.
No. It was another day about that time.
Same time of day.
Yeah.
Yes. Because otherwise that means she's eating at every fucking session. Was she fat?
She was kind of, she sat a lot. Let's just say that. A lot.
So,
I ended up
Jewish?
Her. I suggested Weight Watchers to her.
Really?
Yeah.
You're a big Weight Watchers.
I'm a total Weight Watchers.
Should we chow down on a sandwich? Or
like
what?
A sandwich, an apple.
While you're
figuring it out, you know.
Wow.
This boring childhood I just told you about.
Can I just say something though?
What?
How many years did you go to her before you?
About 2.5, I think.
I didn't hear. Okay, because I was looking at the thing.
I didn't say.
Was she Jewish?
Yes, on the Cape.
A Jew on the Cape.
I know, alone. And yeah.
Eating lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Was it the same?
Anyway, all right. So, you know, I am obsessed with the kids who were popular in high school. I was very bullied and I was not popular and I had elderly parents and I was very tall. And my listeners, of course, know this. But I dreaded going to school because they would just pick on me.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. And then when I went to college, my my guidance counselor had to come over the night before because I was so afraid that I'd been living in a dorm and that if I left my room to go to the bathroom or something, they would be calling me names, which didn't happen, thank God. But you were so fucking popular, and so many comedians... I mean, I know you have the Leslie thing and you have a lot of things, but so many comedians were shunned in school. And you're like...
More outcast.
But do you think that you're happier because you had such a...
I think I was not... I know I was not bullied.
Right.
And I did not bully. That
right.
almost would be... It would be...
Wrong.
And I would be so embarrassed about it, but
right.
I didn't because I...
Do you think Donald Trump was bullied?
I bet he was hazed a lot in his public school.
Right.
Yeah.
In the public school that
I'm sorry, in his private school.
Yes, yeah.
He was drove by.
Because I fucking hate him so much. I hate him so much. I hate him so much. So, all right. So you're, so here you are. You're this gay kid. You're a little, you think you're going to just be alone for the rest of your life because there was nothing for you. There were no, like, you know, these kids these days with the, you know, because they had, what was the show that, and it's time to be old and not remember anything, anything with the gay character, you know, with the gay best friend and Max Munchnick wrote the fucking show.
I don't know.
Not Soap.
Soap did have the gay character.
Right.
But I'm talking about.
Beaver? Leave It to Beaver?
No.
Glee?
No. Before them. With the redhead and the... I'm sure everyone who's listening to this is fucking screaming the name of the show.
Yeah. Boom,
you know,
call in. To you, there's a huge...
Yeah,
track.
Call in
I
right
don't
now.
Know.
You know, Deborah Messing?
Yes.
Was in it?
Oh, Will and Grace?
Yes, Will and Grace.
Oh,
the name hits on
brother,
that.
Will and Grace.
You get a prize.
Yeah. Nice.
Okay, yeah. So Will and Grace. I mean so these kids...
Nothing. Yeah.
These kids had... You know, we lacked. Yeah, I mean, we had Liberace, Charles Nason, Riley,
Darlene on the Musketeers.
Yes, Darlene.
And Funicello getting breasts.
Yeah,
that was really exciting.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Brady Bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how the world. I mean, the world has fucking changed a lot, and it still has a long way to go.
Long way to go.
So you didn't come out to until you were 31.
28.
Oh,
well,
shit.
But good work. But out to myself then, probably, and then 31.
What, 31, you came out to your father. You were 31 years old. It was 1978. And you didn't come out to your mother because she had Parkinson's and you thought it would be too cruel.
Right. And she couldn't talk. And we would have talked.
Right. And that wouldn't be fair to her to be able to not.
Right.
What do you think she would have...
I think she was very, very Catholic and worried mostly that I wasn't going to church. I wasn't going to mass.
Right.
She told me that I was going to go. She was very sad to tell me that I was going to go to hell.
Right.
And I said, what kind of God would do that?
Right.
You know, I mean, I'm a good person. I take care of my friends.
All right.
And, you know.
Wait, this is important.
Darling, that's not how you co-host. I put in little things. Go ahead.
All right, go. There's also a Chiron running, but it's radio. You know, she would have been, I think she would have been upset, but we would have gotten through it.
Right.
And when I talked to neighbors, friends that had...
Did you ever tell Miss Hardigan?
They had left. I think they had left when I was like... I don't know, maybe 11, like when I was in junior or middle school.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we would have talked. And the thing was that they also told me, don't tell Dad, it would kill him.
Right.
And so, which I always thought.
Who's they? Your siblings?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that really that made me think, wow, that is powerful. We should do it. Because this was during Reagan. I used to think I would go stand up and say, I'm a lesbian and see if it would kill him.
Right.
Just like,
that would have been good.
And it would be like, if it's that powerful, let's use it. I felt.
Right.
But in fact, I told my dad, all he said was, I just want you to be happy and I want you to have health insurance. That was it.
Okay, he's Jewish. Because I always have to have health insurance.
Always.
So
sweet.
That is a very response. Like when I started doing stand up, I worked during the day. I bartered. I was a typesetter and I bartered at a company. I worked the amount of hours I needed to be on their healthcare plan.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because health insurance, as you know, mm-hmm. Obamacare, mm-hmm. it's very important. Mm-hmm.
But your dad agreed not to tell your mom.
But she had passed by then.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you when your mother died?
I think I was just 30.
Right. That's just horrible. Horrible.
No, I was older. I can't do the math, but it was sad. But she had Parkinson's and suffered, and it was like, enough.
I know, right?
That's why I hated Reagan, because he did not allow stem cell research.
Stem cell research, right. Yes. And then she, Nancy, after he died of the Alzheimer's, decides that she's going to raise money for stem cell research.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then...
thank you very much.
And then Hillary is going to say at Nancy's funeral that George Bush helped with the stem cell research, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. And then she gets vilified because she has a vagina. Mm-hmm. So...
Exactly.
You came out to your father. You came out... And, you know, I've always admired you. Well, first of all, you were an English teacher, and your vocabulary is... beyond belief. You have an incredible grasp.
And I'm not afraid to use it.
That is correct.
That is a thing. The other day, I said, in the cabaret room at the Crown and Anchor, mm-hmm. I said, apotheosis. Mm-hmm. The wall shook. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. How many people knew what apotheosis
meant? I could see some phones light up Googling.
Right.
But they didn't seem to know how to spell it.
Right.
So there was a little chatting.
P. Mm-hmm. O.
Yes.
T H. Mm-hmm. I. Mm-hmm. O. Mm-hmm. S I S.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's E O S I S.
So it's a Greek word.
It's a Greek word, and
does it relate to a thesis?
Would you like me to repeat the sentence?
Yes. Go. Go. Go.
I used apotheosis in the cabaret room. Is that helpful? Would you like me to peel you a grape? Okay, I think so. But let's move on. Because at home they're thinking.
No, they're thinking. I wish I want to pull my car over and look up what fucking apotheosis. No.
Hey, everybody, you know I'd get myself on the show again somehow. I know y'all miss me. Actually, don't respond to that. I miss you guys. I love you guys. You don't have to say it back. If you don't know who this is Hennessy here, Judy's co-host, not the host. It's her show, obviously. And her sponsor this week is Mack Weldon. But guess what? I get to benefit from her sponsor. So rock on for me. In fact, I am washing a bunch of my sweaty-ass Mack Weldon gear right now. You can go to judygold.com/Mac. If you use code KILLME, they'll give you 20% off and a money back guarantee. If you don't like the clothes, you can send them back and get your money back. You're gonna love these clothes. I use them for exercise. I use them to go out. They make me look stronger than I am, which isn't the strongest in the world. It's not bad. They accentuate my good parts, and they don't accentuate my negative parts. You know what I mean? Men are self-conscious about their bodies too. It's good for men. It's good for women. It's good for feminine men and women. It's good for tomboys, tom girls, and everything in between. This stuff is activewear you can wear on a daily, whether you're being active or not. Check out MackWeldon.com. Take advantage of their 20% off, because this is an incredible company. Really, really good price stuff. Really quality clothes. They're a huge supporter of Kill Me Now and of Judy. And your support to them really helps us out. So thanks once again. Thanks for subscribing to us on iTunes, throwing us a good rating. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the rest of your episode.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Do you think you were a good teacher? You are very patient and funny. Were you funny as a teacher?
I was very funny as a teacher.
And what grade? High school, right?
11th and 12th grade.
Yeah.
Tough crowd.
Very tough crap. What books did you make them read?
We read, it depended. I mean, I taught for 8 years. I think we read Shakespeare, we read Macbeth. Mm. And I had them illustrate the plot structure of using a mobile, the plot structure of Macbeth. And some of the boys from shop made a beautiful mobile that hung over a kid's head. And the main scene was the killing, And so there was a, I looked up and there was a dagger hanging over a kid's head on this hanger. And they had taped little red construction blood drops, which I thought was very effective. But I remember saying to the kid, Jim, just slowly, not real fast, just scooch your desk over a little bit.
Just in case,
yeah.
So wait, what did Jim get on project?
Jim, it wasn't his project.
No,
he was the... Actually, that might have been some very subtle bullying that I didn't realize.
Pick up on,
right. No, I love to teach.
Did the kids would come back and visit you after?
I saw this summer in Provincetown a kid who is now 42.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that I had the last year I taught in 1978.
Is he a gay?
He's a gay who is... just came out 2 years ago.
Wow. Ew, really? That's so sad.
I know, but it's like, it was a drug. It was a very working class Italian family that had a business, and he just couldn't get out of it.
Right, right.
And he finally did.
That's it.
And wow.
His parents are wonderful and supportive, and he's very sad his kids aren't talking to them. I said, but they'll
get over
it. And I said, enjoy it, actually.
Exactly.
They're shunning.
I mean,
enjoy
hello.
The shunning.
Yeah. So annoying.
Yeah. Pretty soon they'll think you're cool. It'll be forever.
First stand-up comedy night of your life.
Syracuse, New York. The Ms. Adventure Club. And
is this a lesbo bar?
It was a women's club. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, if you know what I'm saying. And I had been talking about wanting to try stand-up comedy and for too long, and a best friend of mine called me up and she said, I booked you in a club. You're on in a month. I don't want to hear anything more about it. And we hung up a poster in the bar, and about 120 of my closest friends came, and I did a 33-minute show.
Wow, that's a long time.
I know, but, you know, I didn't know any better. When I first started, my booker, she had been in a women's band and for 10 years, and the band broke up. She said, I'll book you for the summer. I said, okay, that's great. And then I said, how long should a show be? And she said, well, I guess you should do 45 minutes. We'll take a break, and then you'll come back and do 45. And
what?
That's how I started.
Because that's how bands were.
It was a music thing, yeah. And then...
So you, because you are one of the very few comedians who rewrites your hour every summer, which is... Do you ever repeat anything?
Some golden oldies pop up,
right,
without the big buildup. It's just like a line, you know, it's like a fave.
Right. So how much work does that... Because it's... Look, you're in New York part of the time. You're here. When you're here, it's not like you can get on stage and try 10 minutes out, you know, one night somewhere.
Right.
So how do you work on that hour?
You know, actually, you mentioned my vlogs, my video
blogs. Yes, video blogs are hilarious.
They're very good. They're good practice.
Right.
They're... because I'm still very much of a teacher, so if you saw my routine, it is like a lesson plan of what I'm going to do. And I can get locked into that. But what the vlog has done is I have like three words and I don't make any other note and I just keep doing it. And they're like a minute and 30 seconds.
They're almost 2 minutes.
Almost two minutes.
Great.
So I just keep doing it. So it's like that kind of practice. Very often I'll find out what I do on a Thursday for a video blog. I will use that night in the show.
Yes,
I have a sense of it.
That's excellent. I do. I have a music stand.
Yeah.
On stage with me, and I just have one word.
Wow.
I'm working on my act. I know this is going to be shocking to everyone here, that my new act this summer is about everyone I hate. I had to really work on getting that information out of myself.
A couple of years, really, to even amass that.
Yeah, just because I'm so loving.
Probably some anonymous people, because you have to fill time. I need a whole hour. I hate Jill. You don't even know Jill.
Right.
You just do a whole thing
about Jill.
Jill-ness.
And what an asshole Jill is. Like Jill Stein.
You know what I hate about her? Exactly. She's insane.
Jill Stein, whatever
Jill
the fuck
Stein.
Her name is.
It's completely crazy. Yeah.
And she's now dissing Hillary. Jill,
yeah,
shut
I know,
the fuck up.
Is.
Well, yeah.
All right. What, so you come out and you're a I came out, as a stand-up. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have any lesbo material. I was in a relationship. I just wanted to be a comic. I didn't. But you came out as a lesbian comic. Like, you never, that moniker was never something negative to you. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, I'm a comic. I happen to be a lesbian. Mm-hmm. How did that affect your career? And did you ever think, God... No, I don't think you ever. You never thought, God. No.
Stupidity is sometimes good. Some of my friends thought saying you're a lesbian comic is like a sophisticated career death wish.
Right.
It was something I was coming out. I was interested in talking about it. There was plenty to talk about. And if you thought that you had to write 90 minutes for a 90
minute show. Of course. What are you going to lie?
Then you do the intricacies of lesbian softball, and all of that. And there was plenty to talk about.
Right.
And oddly enough, because I did call myself a lesbian comic, it was like no one else was saying it. And I did do a lot of like that drive time radio. Let's talk to the little lady that says she's,
A lesbian.
Yeah.
Right.
I did, one time I did Geraldo Rivera. And it was about lesbian comics. Mm-hmm. The title was Lesbian Comics. And
was it only you?
No, it was like me and maybe Suzanne.
Mm-hmm. Westenhofer, yeah.
Two or three others. And maybe Marga? Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Marga Gomez, yeah.
So at some point he says to us, and somebody in the audience stood up and said, if you weren't a lesbian, you wouldn't even be on this show. And then I said, well, it's a topic was lesbian comics. That's why we're here.
Right.
And he said, but he did that, that devil's advocate thing. He said, well, yes, why are you here? And I looked at him and I said, we were told we were going to meet Connie Chung.
I got
really happy about it.
Yeah. So funny. Perfect.
I fucking love that.
Yeah, it was great.
They must have laughed. Oh my God.
You
it's like they had bust in this church group though to yell at the lesbians. It was
awful. At the time, so
Leah was?
Leah?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Leah.
But wait, Leah. You What? How old were you when you did your first set?
1981. So I was older, younger, 34. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I saw you at the Bottom Line, maybe in 82, wow. 80. Yeah. Yeah. All the, fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so
what else did you want to tell her, Elisa?
What? Which one? Oh, in the Michigan Women's Music Festival?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I did that.
Yeah.
In 80, 81.
So you're doing your set, you're doing your, so you're pretty much prepared. You could work any club because, it takes years to be able to first you MC, then you middle, mm-hmm. then you, but you're writing these long, great,
And I came at the end of the flowering of the women's music circuit,
right.
Which had, there were women producers everywhere. There was a very active women's music industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came into that sort of the end of that. So there, I played in what you did in a comedy club. I was in the basement of the Unitarian Church.
Right.
Two times. And then the next time they're like, we're going to put you upstairs.
Right.
It was like that. And then I would do a theater.
Right.
But there were producers that did it. They took it very seriously. They did big outreach. I mean, I used to do Sanders Hall in Boston.
Wow.
There would be 2,000 people there. 2,000 women. Insane. So I came... do you know Valerie Bromfield?
Of course, Val and Lois.
Yes.
Lois and I wrote a sitcom that's so fucking hilarious called If You, And You Thought You Had Problems.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. But yeah, of course, Val's gone. She's a therapist now.
Yeah, but she's now at Smith.
She is?
She was in Nashville, and now she's working up at...
I love Val so much.
But she said she would be scared doing material in front of lesbians. And I was like, God, that's where I started. She was always like, wow, why'd you do that?
What do you think of the notion that lesbians have no sense of humor?
I think that somebody really got... they felt very left out. Mm-hmm. Probably a guy in another room. Lesbians were in the kitchen... howling, laughing, sliding down the refrigerator, weeping, crying. He felt left out, and he said, lesbians have no sense of humor. Starting to get that around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you know who that man is?
It was not Bob.
No, not Bob Smith.
Not Bob Smith.
Bob Smith, our friend Bob Smith,
is a lesbian.
Loves lesbians. Yes, he is.
He knows more about lesbian culture than many of us.
Yes. You became sober at what age?
Let's see. I became sober I've been sober now since 1990. I did 28 years.
So did you ever do stand up compromised on alcohol?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
Me
neither.
I did have hangovers and it would be like, oh God, please don't clap.
It's
going to be painful.
Did you drink a lot?
I never could drink enough.
Right.
So, and it just was like, it wasn't like it, you know, it wasn't a big, big car wreck, thank God kind of thing. It was just enough for me. I mean, it was just like depressing.
Right.
And I just feel better not.
Mm-hmm. Right. What are you looking at me for?
No.
I had three glasses of wine. She's like, last night we get home, she goes, when you want that other glass of wine, that's when you say no, Jim.
The first drink gets you drunk.
Right.
So I had a friend who would buy two drinks and drink the second one.
Exactly.
That's funny.
That's good.
I like that.
Yeah, there were a lot of suggestions.
Some of the things that you have said are beyond brilliant, but also, you know, I think we agree that, you know, a lot of your philosophies are, I totally am on board with. Mm-hmm. And I have always felt that humor will change the world. And it's the only way to make a subversive point palatable for mm-hmm. a lot of people. That you have a microphone and you can actually change someone's minds. Mm-hmm. So when I came out, and I was talking about, I came out basically as a gay mother because I was like, I can't just be gay in Provincetown and I have kids. And what do they think? You know, they're going to think, oh, is there something wrong? So I didn't come out till the mid 90s. But yeah, so many people, like I remember doing a thing in Houston and some guy's like, he was in the army or something. And he was like, you know, and you were talking about your kids and your family. And I see now why gay people should be able to get married. And mm-hmm. And those are the kind of things that, and you've done that for so many, for thousands of women. And I just have to say thank you for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're a legend.
It is very timely because I've been talking about my archives, and as far as I'm concerned, I should just burn them.
No.
I know. And I was with a woman last night that I just met, and she said, you know,
I'm kidding.
She said, I was married. I was living in Denver, and I had kids. And she said, and I started to think, maybe I'm a lesbian. And she said, and I came to a show of yours, and I thought, this is possible. And I thought, I can't get rid of my hair.
No, you can.
Yeah.
You know, when I did 25 Questions for a Jewish Mother, which was based
brilliant,
on...
Brilliant.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful.
That show, so many religious Jews came to that show with their parents mm-hmm. and then came out to their parents
fabulous.
Afterwards because... And realized, I can still be Jewish mm-hmm. and be gay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which is... I mean, because you are... you love faith. You think of sort of your work as... a religion, sort of, mm-hmm. you know, that, and the thing you said once said something that, stereotypes are short for identification purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly like, that is such a fucking amazing way to look at stereotypes.
Yeah. We want to be known in our fullness.
Right.
You want to be known as Judy.
Right.
People are busy.
Right.
So they're like, yeah, she's Jewish, she's a mother, she's that, but it's like we don't, it's just a shorthand.
Right. I love that.
Thank you.
Shorthand, stereotypes are shorthand for identification. I forgot to write the hand. Because I'm an asshole, a big fat asshole. This year, Carnival is on Thursday.
Yeah.
Here in Provincetown, and the theme is the 80s. And as you mentioned on your blog, mm-hmm. When you think of the 80s, you think of AIDS and the Reagans.
Good times. Yeah. Yeah.
So what will you be, you know?
I'll be at the,
dressing as,
I'll
or
be at the beach. It's a great time to go to the beach.
I know. It's at the beach. That's fucking great. Let's go to the beach. We should get a bonfire pass for Thursday.
Yes. That's a perfect time.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Oh, you looked at me and like I felt like you loved me when you smiled. And well, yeah, that was like
I was
that.
Burping.
Okay. No,
well, actually, or someday I think you just stay home and let your partner throw beads at your head.
That's a great idea.
grapes, beads, and grapes.
So, did you date a lot? Like, so you're a comic. You're the first lesbo out, really, really out lesbo. Did you have women all over you?
You
Someone's
know,
coming down the stairs.
I would be the last to know.
Really?
Yeah, I really. I mean, my dear partner will say, "They just were coming on to," and I go, "Really? No, I have no idea."
Okay,
I have no
That's
idea.
The same as me. And Elisa is so jealous.
That's true.
She is the most jealous human being. No, admit it.
I get a little jealous.
A little? To the point where, you know, I get seated next to someone at an event. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't do the event, and I'm seated next to someone, and I go, "Hi, I'm Judy." What do you fuck her? What do you fuck her, Judy? Okay. Yes. Exactly. Oh, did you make friends with your little neighbor over there? This is what I have to fucking listen to.
Not exactly.
Elisa, admit it.
No.
Yes, darling. No, it isn't. Okay. Milagros, am I exaggerating? I'm not getting him back. I'm not getting him back.
Are you staying with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. You probably have to pick your shoes there.
So you meet Urvashi, your partner, who is beyond accomplished, and an activist. You are two of the strongest, most, I would say self-reliant, but also I would say that you are both... You both have changed the world in, you know, she was the head of GLAAD.
No,
the task force.
Yeah.
Sorry. GLAAD is now all men.
I'm glad.
GLAAD's there's a lot of guys. But I love GLAAD. Great. But they were she was the head of the gay and lesbian task force. You are this major activist. So, You went to some sort of lecture,
a conference,
and you were wanted to kill yourself because everyone was just talking and talking. And Urvashi got up and said, "I have 3 points that I want to make." And then she made the 3 points, and you got wet in your vagina
because of the three fingers.
Right,
that was really true.
Wow, someone who had 3 points to make and made them and then moved on with her life.
It was very exciting. And I found out later that when she often says 3 points, what it means is she has one definitely, two maybe a variation. If she doesn't have three, she just restates one. But it sounds great.
So did you go up to her and say, "I really enjoyed your three fingers"? Did you put them inside?
She came up to me and said, "You are so handsome."
No, she didn't.
She did. She did. And I was like, "Oh, hi."
Well, did you know then that someone was coming on to you?
I did.
That
was a very good direct one.
Right, right.
Very direct.
So you said, "Oh, well, you know, I want to show you my cock." Right? So, all right. So she said, "You're handsome."
Yeah.
And then?
I said, "Who are you?" And then it turned out that
just saw her, didn't you?
Yeah, but I didn't. I mean, well, I was sort of looking for her because a friend of ours had said, "When you go to this conference, look for her." So I was like, "Oh, this one. Okay, I got it." And then our anniversary of when we met and when we did it and when we got married are all on the same day.
That was part one of Kate Clinton's episode of Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. Check out part two of Kate Clinton's episode as they continue recording in P-Town with a full media card. Probably my fault.
Everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.